Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, happy Memorial Day. Our veterans, we want to thank you for your service. Amen. Yay. And remember those who have gone on before us. Amen. The generals, also generals in the faith. Amen. You know, my papa in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, and been by his grave before, and amen. It's good to recognize those individuals that have gone on before us, and so we want to celebrate them and their lives and their sacrifice and loved ones. Amen. Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're gonna get after it tonight. Amen. And tonight I want to talk about love will keep you going. Love is going to keep you going. While you're turning there, I've got four questions here as we talk tonight. Just some things to think about is, number one, what keeps people away from God? Yeah. Number two, what causes people, for example, what causes people to go into, let's say, addiction? What causes people to commit suicide? What causes people to lose hope? There are a lot of common denominators, and obviously, this last year, especially year and a half, we've seen a lot of people lose hope, right? They just lost hope. And so we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 20, New Living Translation. In verse 4, it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children." Now, this is John, and again, he's talking with believers. All right, so when you keep that in mind. "You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in" what? "The world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from" what? "The world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them." Now, this is a very important statement, guys, because why? Because this, the world thinks we're crazy, and the Bible backs it up right here. We don't speak the same language, right? You watch the news, they're in a whole different world than we are. You got to understand that. That we're not in the same realm. They are speaking for the devil. I know people think this is crazy. Why do I say they speak of the devil? Because everything in the world is sensory. Everything is what's going on in the natural realm. And who controls the natural realm? I mean, there's situations and circumstances. That's not faith. Now, it doesn't mean we ignore circumstances and, you know, it doesn't mean we ignore those things. But what happens is the world's system and the world's viewpoint is not the same, like the scripture says here. They speak for the world and they listen to those in the world, right? So they don't listen to the people. Why? Because they can't spiritually comprehend it. Let's go on, verse 6. "But we belong to God, and those who know God" what? "Listen to us." So what's that saying? There's a spiritual connection here. Like when I speak, there are people that say, "Amen, hallelujah," right? And there's other people we see online that they are speaking the word of God, and it just bears witness with you. It just is like something rings like a bell. Why? Because we're spiritually connected. Anytime we pick up the word of God, and when we read it, it's like we should have the same outcome, right? I mean, we wouldn't read, a book about, Huckleberry Finn, right? And, you know, talking about, well, Huckleberry Finn is, you know, one person could read a Huckleberry Finn and say, well, it's about a boy who lived in, you know, right around Missouri, Mississippi River, and have all these adventures and blah, blah, blah. And then you got another person. Well, it's about this guy named Darth Vader, and he lived in New York, and he had a spaceship. And what? See, we read the same book, but we got two different answers. We shouldn't come up with two different answers, right? When we read the Bible, it should be all the same. We should be spiritually connected. And it says here, "But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to God. If they do not belong to God, they" what? "Do not listen to us." Got it? Let's get free of something here. Number one, if people don't agree with you or things like that, it's because they're probably not connected with the Holy Spirit and with God. I mean, I'm talking about the things of God, right? Now, whether you like blue cars and your spouse likes red cars, or you like macaroni and cheese and they like pizza, we're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual things, right? But if we belong to God, and those who know God, listen to us. But if they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has a spirit of truth or what? The spirit of deception. There were those people before where you just talk to people and they're just like, you're not buzzing. You ever those people before where you just talk to them and you're just like, we are on two different planets, you know? I was in school one time, and this gal that I went to school with, we sat next to each other in a math class, you know? We talked, you know, in math class and stuff, and she was just like, just hippie chick, and, you know, just like, far out, man, and everything, and it's like, I couldn't even get a word in edgewise, you know? It's like, what planet are you from? We were in high school together. Hello, is anybody home? You know, she was off in Woodstock, and I was like, well, I was in math class. We just, you know, you're just not buzzing with people. You get those people that it's just like you're on a different planet. That's what the Bible's talking about here, right? That's why you'll see people that will watch the news and the surroundings and all the circumstances and everything that's going on, and they're following everything that's going on, but they have no spiritual discernment for anything, right? Because they're not looking on the inside. They're not having this litmus test of what is the spirit realm saying. And that's why when you listen to people, it's amazing, because I'll preach things, and then a week later I'll hear somebody online that I listen to, and they'll say the exact same thing, another minister. And why is that? It's because we're all connected to the same spirit. We should all be saying the same things, right? Then he goes on here, and that's kind of a side trail, but we're going into some other things we want to get to tonight. Verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For what? For God is love. Verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now, again, for a lot of us, a lot of us know this, and again, you know, when we read the Bible, it's not necessarily every time. There are a lot of times I'll read the word and I'll say, oh man, that's amazing. And I'll have new revelations all the time when I read the word. But there's when the Apostle Paul talks about there in 2 Corinthians where he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God brings the increase. Sometimes we're in the process of, number one, if we've never heard something before, it's a planting, right? It's something new. It's something that's planted in us. Watering is coming along and cultivating what we know. So we know Paul went out. He had three missionary journeys. He went out. He was establishing new works. He would do things. He went through Eurasia, up through parts of Europe, and he came back, and he had three missionary journeys. And so Paul is out there on the edge. He is planning new works. He's doing things. He's planning churches like in Ephesus, and he's putting Timothy in as pastors and other people. And we have Apollos, which was a gifted teacher, and he would teach things, and he would do things, and it wasn't that it was necessarily always a brand new thing, but he's bringing new insight to truths that we already know. But God brings the increase. He is the one that will bring light. You ever have those moments where you see something like, now I get it? Yeah. It just the light turns on. It's like, I get it now. Yeah. I had those times before where I'd read the Bible especially before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was just, you know, I'd read it. It was like, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting, that's interesting. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came upon me, because again, you know, there's two experiences. There's a born-again experience the Bible talks about, and then the Spirit upon. And that's when we have a light bulb turn on. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about is, okay, I got some initial teachings. I've got some things that are cultivated. I hear it again. But then the light comes on and we get revelation of it. Verse 11, dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. What is he saying here? Now, we can say that, yes, that John is telling us we need to love each other, and that's it. But I think the in-depth part is that power of love that is in us, that's not something that we... You just can't go around and say, well, I'm just going to decide to... I mean, you can, but it's a supernatural act, and it comes from a supernatural force from God. Love is not something... Go to hell, nobody's loving each other there, right? But where does love come from? It says right here it comes from God. So the ability to love people, the ability to... that it's a supernatural gift from God that is in us. Because you look at the world system, and what is the world system? The world system is all about how much can I take from you? What can I get from you? You know, how can I do whatever it is for you to make me feel better, right? But the love of God is a supernatural gift that is bestowed in us supernaturally because it comes from God. Because number one, we don't really have the capacity to love until we're born again, really. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we don't have it. What are the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians? Now, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, that has become a born-again experience. That's not because you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you're born again and your spirit man is changed, the love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, those are all byproducts of your spirit man that's changed, right? Because the world system is all about, well, you did this to me, so I'm going to get you back, right? It's the eye for an eye thing. Or, well, you didn't do this, you didn't say this to me, right? So I'm going to, you know. It's a supernatural thing. And it's bestowed on us by God. The world doesn't have the ability to love people. Now, I know people that aren't born again that are super duper people. And they will do about anything for people. And they have human goodness and they're great people, right? But it only goes so far. You know, I mean, it only goes so far. You can't go beyond that sometimes. It has to be a God-initiated thing in us, and that's what this is saying here, that it comes from God. This isn't something that we conjure ourselves. Then it goes on, verse 13. Oh, I'm sorry, the end of 12. Now, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and love is brought to the full expression in us, right? So that means we have the ability to love supernaturally. Now, why am I going with this? Hang on. Verse 13. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him, should be capitalized. Don't get me on my soapbox again. And he, which should be capitalized in us. H's should be capitalized. Furthermore, we have seen our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. Now, let me ask you this. Let me just finish this portion here real quick too. God is love and all who live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Here we go. So love has no fear. You ever notice why people have fear? Yeah, you know, people on the news and everything, you wear, they're just like, you know, especially last year and a half, they're out of their mind with fear. Why is that? Why is that? Because they don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding living and residing in them, right? You can burn my house down, you can take everything away from me, but I'm still going to have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I've got something greater that you'll never be able to take away from me. And the same with you. See, that's where I want to grow and develop all of us. We all want to grow and develop. Is that we'll live in a place of God separate than our, than the news, separate than our circumstances, separate than our bank account, separate than our body, what our body tells us, separate than anything else, because God loving us is enough. I know it's hard to hear some people. But when you get to heaven, I mean, we're not going to care about any of this stuff, right? I mean, that's why talks about, song's talking about taking our crowns and casting at him. You know, we just sang that song, casting our crowns. Or at, who cares about gold? Who cares about any of that stuff? When you're in heaven, the only thing you're going to be thinking about other people there and the love of God. The love of God. And so that kind of takes me back to finish this up here. Verse 18. So love has no fear, because perfect love, what? Expels all fear. I'm not afraid of anything, because God has got my back. And even if something did happen, I step on the other side, I am in such a better place than I am here now. All right, so don't tempt me with eternity. Really. Because I don't have a fear of death. I don't have a fear of dying. I don't want to check out anytime soon. But my point is this, it relieves me from fear. Right? If I don't have food, oh well, I get skinnier. What's that, right? Hello? Well, that's awful terrible. I step over with Jesus. Again, so when I know that God loves me so much, and I know on the other end is the open arms of Jesus, right? I'm not saying we're not talking about, hey, we're all going to be Jim Jones, we're all going to drink the Kool-Aid. No, we're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is my life, I live it to the extent that nothing bothers me. Now, of course, you have bills. You have things that show up. Of course, you're like, oh, we got to pay this. You know, you deal with the natural things. But what it means is when the dust settles and you step back and you take the 10,000-foot view and you say, you know what? None of this really matters, because I live in God. He loves me anyway, and I walk in that love. He's enough. And as we live in God, and so verse 18, so love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because what? Because he loved us first, right? It's because of the love that he put in us first gives us the ability to love other people and him. Let's say, for example, on Judgment Day, I'm going to be running to him. A lot of people are going to be running away from him. Why? Because I know I've been forgiven. I'm a new creature. I'm born again. I know I've sinned, and I know that I've done wrong in the past, but he's taken away. Why? Because his word says so. And if he says it, that means he really means it. So we want to argue with God all the time and say, well, I just don't. And this is where the devil comes in and say, well, does God really love you? Did he really forgive you? Does he really have your back? And you question things and you call him a liar every day. We do that. That's unbelief. Unbelief is saying, God, you're a liar. I don't believe what you're saying. Well, I don't believe God really loves me. You're right. He sent himself. He died on the cross for us. Didn't have to. Jesus had nothing other than with us. There was no purpose for Jesus to come down for himself to do this for us anyway. I mean, how many of you would say, okay, you're the Son of God, you have all this glory, you're in heaven, everything's wonderful, peachy, you have all authority, oh, everything's just great, and it's like, yeah, I'll volunteer to go down, become a man, get kicked around for, 33 years, and then at the end of it, I'm going to, die a horrible death. Gee, where do I sign up for that? Right? Nobody's going to sign up for that, but he did it anyway. And that's love. And you know what? He knew we were going to mess up in the beginning. And he still made us, even though we messed up in the beginning. He still made Adam and Eve, and he knew the beginning from the end. He knew that we were going to mess up, and he knew that he was going to be taken to the slaughter and die a horrible death for us even before it all started. But he had to give us a choice. He had to let us choose. He wanted us to choose him over this world and this world system and the flesh. He wanted us to choose. In verse 20, if somebody says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God, whom we cannot see? And he has given us this commandment. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. There's one word in our house we won't allow. I mean, there are a lot of other ones, but hate. We won't say hate. We won't say, well, I hate this person, I hate this person. It's like, never. We never do that. We get on everybody in the house, we're like, we never say hate. Never say hate. The things we hate are sin, right? We hate sin. The Bible says God hates sin, so we can hate that. And the spiritual enemies. But we don't hate people. Even if they're completely crazy and whacked out and doing evil, bad things, it's like we don't hate people because they are God's creation. We pray that, you know, they'll turn around and things like that. But we never use the word hate in our house. Never. Because the Bible says those who hate are like murderers. We're not murderers. We don't hate people. We may not agree with them. And they're obviously wrong. There's a lot of people out there wrong, and they're doing wrong things about it. But we don't hate anybody, right? So again, let's come back to the four questions here. What keeps people away from God? Well, we see here that it says such love has no fear because perfect love casts out fear. And people who are in fear, they don't have the love of God, or they're not meditating on it. I mean, I could walk out here afterwards and we can go eat somewhere and I could walk up to some random person and say, do you believe God loves you? And I'd be like, well, I guess. Yeah. Go to Walmart, talk to people there. Hey, you know. Most people probably say no. Why? Because they're what we call, a lot of people are what we call sin conscience. They're more aware of their mistakes and their sins than they are of how God loves them. And what is the Bible trying to get us to do? Trying to get it over to the point that God loves us, we've made mistakes, but he's not looking at us. The Apostle Paul says that we are to recognize no man after the flesh, right? But after the Spirit. How many Christians do that? And especially those people that were close, we've known for a long time, right? When you look at them, like, well, they've done this, and they've done this, and they've done this, and I know them, and I've been there for this long, and this, and blah, 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 and you get what we call the spirit of familiarity. What's, you know. And that's something we all have to battle. So, what causes people to go into addiction, commit suicide, lose hope? And it's because they don't have the revelation of God loving them. Now, why is this important? Again, why is it so important? It's important because where do we put our trust in? I mean, like now, you know, everything political going on and all the COVID and everything else too, we see people like, well, so-and-so said this, this prophet said this. And I mean, that's good. But what is God saying to you, right? Do you personally have a knowing that God loves you and you're confident with that, right? I mean, if everybody left you tonight and you were alone, would you be able to say, you know what? I know that God loves me and that's all I need. Now, of course, we need people. We need each other. But is God enough? Romans 8:39. It is enough. And you know what? The cool thing is God will bring more people your way too. Romans 8:39. This is where what we call sin consciousness, theological term, it's called sin consciousness. And what it is, like I said earlier, it's you're more conscious of your mistakes. You're more conscious of your sin. I like to think of it this way, that when you're born again and the Lord forgives you and you are a brand new creature there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, okay, and 18, when you become a new creature, you are washed clean. Those sins are gone, right? Because the Bible says it. And the devil likes to come along and remind you of your mistakes. All he's doing is taking a Polaroid Some of you younger folks may not know what a Polaroid is. You used to take, they have them now, they're coming back because the girls have them. You take a little camera, go, bzzz, this little picture come out, bzzz, it comes out the end, and you take it out, and you do this trick, remember that? You just kind of, like that helped it. I don't know what I did. I remember you just take a Polaroid, and you're just like, you blow on it, and you do this trick and everything. And I have no idea what that meant, you know? But somehow it was supposed to help the process. But you take the Polaroid out and you show it, and then it's like this. It was all white, and then all of a sudden you see this little picture starting to form and everything, you know, and everything. What is the picture? I mean, that already passed, right? So I mean, like for example, I took a picture now, and then we all walked out of here. I'm capturing something that happened in time, but later when I look at the picture, it's gone, right? That's what the devil does. He likes to take a Polaroid and show you things that happen, but they don't exist anymore. Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing that I always like. The devil, you know, when he comes and knocks at my door and tries to harass me and everything, and he'll say things like, well, this or that or blah, 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 and I start putting the Bible up. You know what? It says right here in Revelation that you're going to be in hell, and then someday you're going to be in the lake of fire, and I can't wait for that day. And in fact, I'm going to judge you, devil, and your demons biblically someday. Did you realize that? And all of a sudden it was like, he's gone. Devil, come back, please. Where you at? Let's talk more about your defeat. Let's talk about how Jesus defeated you already. See, he doesn't like that. And I speak things out. When the devil comes my way and he'll say garbage to me, I open the Bible and I read out Revelation. Oh, I just can't wait to that day that you're burning in the lake of fire with your demons and everything else too. And I can't wait. And in fact, I'm going to pray for a while. I'm just going to torment you for a while by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I start praying and he disappears like that. He doesn't like that stuff. And Mary Baxter talked about this too when she took a trip, the Lord took her to hell. And he said, the demons warned them, and he said, don't beware of those spirit-filled Christians that know their authority. And I know my authority. And I like using on the devil, right? Because he has no mercy on us. We should have no mercy on him. Oh, he's fun to torment. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Why? Because I've got authority over him. Jesus, greater is he that's in what? Me, than he that's in the world. I don't have a fear of the devil. He is little and tiny, and God is humongous. He's infinite. He creates universes and worlds, and I'm worried about some little dumb devil. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a joke. It's like he's a squeaky toy, you know? And the Bible talks about magnify God. God is so huge and so wonderful and so magnificent. And his love just drowns me. I don't have time to think about that. I don't have time to think about that worthless moron. I don't have time. He's a waste of my time and he's a waste of my energy because I want to be so consumed with God and his love and his presence and how wonderful he is. I just don't care. Romans 8:39, and it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Nothing, nobody, no thing, nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? COVID cannot separate me from the love of God. You know, quarantine cannot separate me from the love of God, right? Governments cannot separate me from the love of God. Hello? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. It's impossible. 1 Corinthians 2:9. See, it's one thing to hear this and go, oh, that's interesting, and then you go home and you eat and everything else too. But it's another thing to meditate on it. It's another thing, because this is a really meaty subject here. This is a really meaty message when you really think about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. You know, and I remember studying, history, just different kings and different, you know, where they would pump up their soldiers and say, we got this victory, we've got it won, and we're gonna win the victory, and blah, blah, blah. And they've been maybe outnumbered like 10 to 1. But they had it in their mind that they were going to go win. And those, why? Because it's a mental. But you know what? It's, we're not psyching ourselves up. We really have the victory. I mean, we've already got the victory before we even get to the war. I mean, we've already won the battle before we even get there, according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we'll wrap it up here in a minute. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Adrian kind of spoke on this earlier when she was speaking some things out. But it is revealed spiritually. It is, number one, we've got to spiritually receive it. It's got to be spiritually given to us, and we've got to spiritually discern it. Kind of like earlier, we were riding around the car, and we turned the radio on. We had a radio on there in the car. You know, it's interesting because the radio station can send the signal, but until we turn the radio on, we're never going to have connection. We're never going to have reception at all, right? You know, I could call, 1040 WHO over here and turn my radio and have it on there too, and I'm like, we need to call the radio station. Well, there's something wrong with their, sitting. You know what they're going to say? No, we're sending out several thousand watts here. The problem's not on our end, right? I can turn another radio. We're not going to call the radio station and say there's something wrong with you. No. So the radio station's sending the signal, but whether we turn the radio on and dial it into that frequency, we're never going to connect with it, right? And right here, people will say, well, I wish the world's never going to have, the world is never going to understand God. They're never going to connect. Nobody in the world, when I was in the world, system. Nobody's ever like, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. You ever heard that? Remember? You're sitting at a bar drinking beer and stuff, and you're like, I'll take a beer and everything. I wonder what the will of God is for my life. Nobody ever really cared. You know what I'm saying? Nobody thought anything about it, right? So they're not getting anything downloaded from God because, number one, they don't have the capacity because it's got to be spiritually discerned. Number two, they're not tapping into it. And it says here, it's not because our eyes, we can't see it, and neither has it entered the heart of man, but these things which are prepared, God has prepared for them that love him. So it's all about that love, isn't it? God gives us his direction and was his will for our life because he loves us. Does he love those people that are in sin? Of course he does. He loves people. But they don't have the capacity to accept it. And then verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So he's not, he's not speaking to you through your pancakes. Right? I saw the Virgin Mary in my waffles this morning, so that's a sign from God. That's right. There was a Muppet show where, Gonzo, Muppets in Space or whatever, where he had this message that formed in his Cheerios, God's not going to speak to you through the Cheerios at breakfast time. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to speak to our spirit. He's going to tell us, right? And this is where a lot of the denominational folks will get into trouble. Well, Gideon, he said, it's going to be wet, and then, he put out a fleece, and that's Old Testament, right? Well, that's in the Bible. Well, you know what? Slaughtering animals and sacrificing is in the Old Testament too. Should we do that too? Should we dig that back up? And no. We'll just cut up Fluffy and our pets, and then we'll, have a sacrifice. No, we don't need to do that anymore, right? Because Jesus took care of that, so we're done with that. Ephesians 2. We can hear from God, but the first thing is we've got to be convinced that God loves us and he wants to communicate with us, he wants to bless us, he wants to help us. I'm going to go through these scriptures here. I'm going to start in verse 4, Ephesians 2:4, and it says, but God who is rich in mercy, hallelujah. How many need some mercy tonight? Amen. Oh, thank God for his mercy, I just think about in heaven, you know, I feel sorry for the, you know, I always think of Judgment Day, that this big, like, screen's going to pop down, you know, and then God's going to show all the stuff on them. Like, ooh, don't show that. Ooh, not that. No. But you know what? We've been forgiven. Amen. Well, you and I were born again. We're going to be judged on our works. Basically, did we obey and do what he's called us to do? But the sinners, that's a different story. They're going to have to give an account for all the bad stuff they've done, and they've never been forgiven, so they've got to give an account. Jesus already took care of that for us if you're born again, right? But it says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Man. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. So guys, we are getting so much blessing. We are loved because of what Christ did for us. When you start digging into this Bible and find out what we are redeemed from and what we are redeemed to, you should be shouting and running around this place, I'm telling you right now. And then verse 8, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the difference between Christianity, true Christianity, and religions, and ever the philosophy is this. We are saying in Christianity, God is saying through Christianity that man is not good enough to redeem himself, but God himself came down and redeemed us. All the other religions are, I am working to make myself righteous. I am doing things to make myself righteous. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, there are things that there's no way that we could be righteous. And then what happens is you live a life of, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? Am I this? Am I that? No. It's, you're never going to be good enough. And this scripture is so amazing because it says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And verse 10 is wonderful. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. What has he done? He's given us grace. He's bestowed mercy upon us. And he has created us to do amazing things for him. But you're worried about your water bill. Right? And God's over here creating planets and universes and who knows what else he's still creating. I don't know. I don't know how fast the universe is expanding, but God is like, see his word. It's why? Because it's still traveling. It's still, he said, light, let there be light. And he created the universe and created planets and everything. Why? Because God's word doesn't become void. It doesn't drop off. It doesn't stop. Once he says something, it still continues to create, doesn't it? It's still, the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. I mean, and even faster than that. It's still expanding, scientists say. Right? Yes, I'm into science. I'm not a science denier. The cool thing is science, it just proves God, right? I mean, it's just when you start getting into DNA strands and everything else too, and you're thinking, I have a DNA strand, and it goes all the way up to the moon if it was a single there and back. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to know that God had such a sophisticated code for me that it's impossible to wrap my head around. Last scripture, Romans 8. Romans 8, back to Romans 8. Did I put anybody to sleep this week? No. Everybody awake? Yeah. Sort of, kind of? All right. Praise God. Well, almost. We've got a few people that are sleepy. I'm glad I can be a glass of warm milk for everybody. Praise the Lord. I have purpose. Yes. Romans 8:31. What should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Who can be against us? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or COVID or quarantine, right? No! We're just going to shut the churches down because, you know, we're concerned about safety and we're concerned about this. My God is bigger than you, and my God is bigger than me, and my God is bigger than you. Yeah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Verse 37, Nay, in all these things, close with this, we are more than conquerors. How many are more than conquerors? Through him that loved us. You ever notice here the people that are the righteous people, the people that God loves, we are more than conquerors. We have favor. We are blessed. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Interesting, that's more than one place, isn't it, in the Bible? That all of these things, no matter what comes against you, can separate us. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, them are shouting. The reason why people lose hope is because they don't have the revelation of God and the love that he has given them. Amen? They don't have it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, this Bible, you know, people will say, I laugh because one time we were doing a Bible study, maybe some of you remember this, but anyway, we had some folks visit one time and talking about prosperity, and oh, they just got mad. Oh, they're just like, oh. And just, oh, they just came undone. And they couldn't, you know, well, you know, you're supposed to be poor. And I think I pulled out like 10 scriptures talking about God and his prosperity. He wants to bless us, New Testament, Old Testament, all over the place. Well, I just don't believe that stuff. Well, I just gave you 10 scriptures to your nothing off the top of my head, and you're going to argue with me, right? And other people are like, well, you know, healing's just not in the Bible. You can't read the Bible and not stumble over healing like every other page. I mean, come on, it's impossible. Unless you're reading like this, right? The censored version, right? I mean, you can't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus is healing people all over the place. Up, oh, you're healed up, you're healed up, you're healed up, you're healed up. Oh, you're whole. Okay, well, over your eyes now. Now you can see. All right, let's do this. I mean, it's all over the place. In the love of God. I mean, that's just a few scriptures, you know? All over the place, God's love is drenched all over. Even the Old Testament, God seems a little rough at times, but it's like, you read Psalms, you read Proverbs, he's just so tender and so merciful and so much love, and he's thinking about us all the time, and he's there's no concern at all. Because why? Because he's God and he's able to take care of everything, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I sit back and I read scriptures on his love, and I'm like, ah, it's better than a bubble bath, right? Better than Calgon. Oh yeah. Okay, some of your folks don't know what that, the younger folks, right? There's a commercial with this mom that's all stressed out and everything. She's like, oh, she kicks off her shoes. Oh, Calgon, take me away. It is this bubble bath. Remember that commercial? You know, just so stressed. Oh. To me, I think, oh, love of God, take me away. Calgon, take me away. I'm old school here. Okay, all right. I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, so I'm not up on any commercials, but amen. But I'm just saying, you can't read the Bible without seeing prosperity and health and healing and the love of God and how he's got our back and how he's guiding us and leading us and he's there for us and he has ministering spirits working on our behalf. And it's just, I mean, if you pick up the Bible and you're depressed, I would say you need to learn to read, right? Get hooked on phonics or something. Have somebody help you out. Go back to school or something, because the Bible is wonderful. It's amazing. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord Jesus. I pray right now that your love would just consume every person here in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your love would just follow them all of the days of their life, Lord, that you would pour out your goodness. I speak your goodness is being poured out on every person here tonight. And that, Lord, they would sense your loving presence, Lord God, and you would give them direction, Lord Jesus. And they would call on you, Lord God, in any time of need. But Lord, my prayer is that we meditate on the goodness of God. Amen. And on your love and have peace. Amen. Because no peril, no trouble, no principality, no power can separate us from your love and your presence, Lord. Amen. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, enjoy your weekend. Hallelujah. Eat lots of good stuff.